today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 284. And this episode, we're going to be talking about the design side of our latest settings update. If you listen to the last episode, we were talking about the development side of all of this. But this week, or this time around, we're going to be focusing on design. You can listen to these episodes in any order. If you missed the last one, just go ahead back and listen to that one. There won't be any kind of quiz at the end. I'm Marie Mosley. I'm the support lead here at CodePen. And with me today to talk about the design of the new settings are our lead designer, Claire Frank. Hey, Claire.
Hey, everyone.
And one of our engineers, Dee Vasquez. Hey, Dee.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So Dee was on to talk about the technical end of this, moving things from jQuery to React, all of that jazz in the last episode. But Claire is the person who created the fantastic new design. I really love how it looks, Claire. I haven't said that to you yet. I'm saying it to you now.
Oh, thank you.
It looks great. And I just wanted to talk to you about the process behind the design and how we came to this new, really nice looking, really, really beautiful settings.
Well, at least I knew that we were going to have to redesign settings for quite some time because I hadn't just touched that part of the site in quite some time. I don't think I ever touched that part of the site. So I knew it was coming. And there were a lot of things that we had been cleaning up with React. So it just seemed kind of natural that this is where it was headed with settings. And it really needed a cleanup. And it kind of needed just a content rethinking too, and just like a whole sort of sweep of it to make sure that everything made sense. Because there were parts of the settings that kind of just didn't make sense.
Oh, that's for sure. Definitely. I think one of the biggest benefits of this redesign is, like you say, that it's not just visual. It's also a redesign of the content. And the clarity of the settings is vastly improved now. I think it's much easier to understand exactly what each of these sections is for, and you have more context of what everything is in each of the sections of the settings, and I think that's so, so valuable.
Yeah, I feel like before it was kind of confusing what was actually included underneath the profile setting, and like billing was all over the place, and yeah, it was pretty confusing.
Yeah. And this also, I think a nice thing about this also is that it really harmonizes the settings with the rest of the site. Because like you mentioned, I don't think that you've ever done anything in settings, and you've been at CodePen for a couple of years at this point. That's old.
Yeah.
That's old CodePen territory.
Yep. It's circa 2011, 2012, which I've like lovingly dubbed old school CodePen, aka like V1 back in the day. So we brought it into the 2020s.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole CodePen settings before, it was kind of just like boxes displayed in a grid that were like in this masonry style layout, I think. Except there was like some parts that had like a right sidebar with information, but the right sidebar like isn't a particularly UX pattern because people kind of ignore that part. So I kind of wanted to get away from that too. And then the whole part with the left sidebar, which is in the new settings, was actually just Dee's suggestion. She's
was it?
All these sites that I love have these great left sidebars.
Oh.
What if you could do that? And she's like, I really love this. And I'm just like, all right, I'll try it out and see if it works. And I tried it out and I was like, oh, this looks good. I'm going to go with this.
That is so funny because I completely forgot about that. We've been working on the blog post, and like there's a big section like tab navigation went from horizontal to vertical to be consistent with the rest of CodePen, which it is. But like, that's funny. I didn't realize that was me. I was like, oh, that's some Claire doing some fancy like design stuff. I forgot completely.
I mean, it made sense.
No, I think it's beautiful.
But it was your suggestion.
I just didn't realize
when I was starting to do this.
I'm complimenting myself, whereas I'm thinking I'm complimenting you. And I'm like, oh, I completely forgot. And I have been saying, though, that I love your stilo as a designer because you're super welcoming of inspiration from others. Like Stephen and I like lovingly like call ourselves your design interns because both of us both of us like love looking at design inspiration and stuff, and I'll literally collect screenshots from the web. I call it in the wild inspiration. Like I took this UI design course a while ago and that's what he said to do. So now I just like send all my screenshots to you and you're cool with it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I feel like just having input from everybody else makes my life easier. If you're just going about it and you have to gather your own inspiration and you're do all of your own research and like you aren't talking with anybody else, then it's just like the really hard way to go about designing. And it makes your life so much easier when you're on a team and you utilize all the resources of all the smart people around you.
Well, and the fact that Dee doesn't remember that was her idea, to me, that says that's a sign of very effective collaboration because you set aside the ego and just go for what's a good idea and everybody just owns it together. Beautiful, beautiful collaboration.
That's 100% right. I love that. Set aside the ego and all come to the best idea. So true.
That's the goal when you're working on a team, is to create something that everybody can be proud of together. And that's what we have here. The appearance of the design and the functionality of the design is a product of all of us talking about what we think would work best. But you know, the visual aspects of it, especially, I think we can say are Claire's awesome design skills at work here.
I mean, there's still like very specific decisions that were made that were UX decisions here. Like having all the navigation in the sidebar makes sense because it's a pattern that we use all across the site, from our sidebar that you see when you are on the homepage to the settings that are in the actual editor. And it also allows the maximization of space so you aren't constrained to the width of a page, which is always fixed. You have this infinite amount of height so you can put in a certain amount of tabs and you don't have to worry about like, oh man, we're adding this new section to settings. This is going to completely mess up our navigation scheme.
Right. It won't. Yeah. I also noticed that this is a lot more friendly on smaller screens. When I was looking at this on a pretty old MacBook Air, and it looks great. And it's way easier to find your way around the pages and also just find each of the sections of the settings much more quickly. And, you know, we mentioned this in the last episode, but the fact that you don't have to explicitly save every single setting with pressing a button is,
oh man,
that's so much better on a smaller screen because previously you would have to scroll up to the top of the page again. And if you're on a small screen and you've scrolled pretty far down, you might not have any idea that that button's even there anymore. So it's so much easier to work with in all the different contexts that someone might be working with it. And, you know, the design is so much better for all of these circumstances.
Yeah, the save was an explicit UX decision too, because that's just what people expect now from modern web apps. And so to not have that, I feel like we were running into some issues where people were expecting their settings to save because they weren't actually pressing save or not seeing that button. And now we don't have to worry about that. It just removes that extra
What's
step.
Nice about it is, for me, I was able to update a lot of, I've talked about this on the show before, but I use Text Expander for macros for sending out support responses. And I was able to update a lot of them that would have these big, long explanations of, you know, go here, go here, go here, change this, then press that green save all settings button. and I was able to edit these down to very brief descriptions of how to do it. And anytime I can shorten the description of how to do something, it's so much more likely that people will have an easy time completing that task. Because if it's like one or two steps rather than six steps, you have a much better chance of success.
Yeah,
totally. That's the whole user experience of it, is just reducing the amount of steps that people have to go through to get what they want to do accomplished.
And I think a sign of great UX and a sign of like just a great web software product code-wise as well is it works really well and it seems super simple. And that's like the magic of the UX, is you don't realize how intentionally it's been designed. And kind of going back to the content and navigation, I know you've done many, many iterations on the sidebars and navigation. And I think this was like one of the clutch pieces, like linchpins, and we've still got more work to do. But one of my favorite UX changes is the context switching, which I know is still a tad confusing on CodePen, and we've got plans to make it less confusing, but like switching context between your personal account or your team account or vice versa. This was, I think, the beginning of a series of changes that we can hopefully get to soon. But could you talk a little bit about how you work through that, Ms. Claire?
I feel like that's just thinking about what is the simplest thing for users. And now looking at settings, it's like hard to imagine what settings within Teams actually looked like before.
Yes.
Because now it just seems so simple. Like, all right, everything that you get here is just your own stuff. And then Teams is explicitly laid out with each of its different tabs. And it's like so clear you're editing the team profile versus your profile. And like, I can't even remember what it was before because I just remember it was confusing.
I can't wait for you to bring that approach to like context switching as a whole on the site, because it needs some love for sure.
Yes, it does.
Can't wait to get there. Yeah.
That's one of the last areas that we have where the explanation of how things work is longer than I would like it to be. Definitely.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
And like, maybe that's an issue with thinking about it from a development perspective versus a user perspective.
Nah, because the development side, it is not fun either. I can tell you, I've looked at that code and I'm like, when can I rip this out and replace it with something more sensical that Claire designed for me?
I feel like that happens sometimes when we're developing too, is like we get into this issue of like, all right, well, this is going to be slightly easier for development, but like what is best for the user? And you kind of have to weigh like how much level of effort are you going to put in and how much is that worth?
What's interesting is when it's not like the cleanest development solution, it's really hard to add to it. And then over time, it does neither, right? It's neither like easy to understand and extend development wise, and then the design doesn't, like, it's not easy on the user either. So I feel like it's hard to come to the middle ground with that. Like, even I think there's a case where if you're a pro user and you have only ever signed up for a paid team user, your billing tab only says that you're a pro and not much else. And we were like about to release it and we're like, this is kind of hard to make this work on the development side, but it's like, I get confused about it too. Like, there's nothing else. And then we're like, we should just merge them. And I was like, no, let's talk about design. Let's talk to Claire. And 'cause that only happens in rare situations or maybe for a certain percentage of the users. But as a whole, it is more, it's easier to understand, but then it can lead to like these warning signs almost, like, oh, code smells and then maybe design smells. Like, how can we come together to make this easier on both sides? So, you know, maybe we'll talk about that at the next all hands, but it's also one of those things where it's like, oh, next iteration, because we still have a lot of like permissions and role-based stuff that we want to do. And so maybe Claire will address it in that iteration or what have you. But
yeah, I guess that's important to point out too, is that like this rollout is just one iteration of this. And we are actively working on parts of the site over and over again. And we have plans to revisit things. So like, this may seem like a big refresh, but it's still an active project.
It's true. It is just a piece of the puzzle, you know, and it's nice to have a very defined path that we're going down. You know, in the past, we've had a much more chaotic design and development process. Those things both began to change when you joined us, Claire. it's been really nice to see this process go as smoothly as it has gone. And part of that is due to how you also manage projects, which we talked about on a recent episode. This was another example of that, where we really work together collaboratively across, you know, we have design, we have developers, and we have me, the support person, who knows every single thing that people can trip on and every little rabbit hole you could fall down in the worst possible way in your setting. So having the understanding of where people were experiencing pain in the settings and how we need to make this work on the development side and the best way to make it work and make sense for the members who are actually going to have to use it all the time, you know, collaborating on that and working together very closely made it go very smoothly. So it's been, it took a while. This one took a while to actually go from the design stage to being out. I'd say Claire, you probably know better than I do. It's got to be months now, right?
Since July.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I think July is when we first started.
May.
Okay. I think I must have started remembering working on it in July. I don't know. Yeah.
May.
I mean, May. It's 2020. You look at the calendar and it's all just words.
April.
It's all just numbers.
I started working on the settings design in April. On April 2nd, I created the Figma document.
Okay, so this took a while to come to fruition. And of course, we had some stumbling blocks of our own along the way. And we talked about that a little bit in the development episode. But it was also intentionally not rushed out. We did not just force this out as soon as we had the design and, you know, chips fall where they may and we deal with the problems as they appear. We have smoothed a lot of things out here. And made sure that we moved with intention through this process, which is I've been very happy with the way that we've been releasing things lately. That we're doing it in a normal, sensible way, which I really appreciate, and I think the members appreciate it too.
One of the other things that's really made your life, Marie, easier is adding all of this extra helper text.
Oh, yes.
To the different sections too, because we didn't really have that before. We might have had it in like a few sections, but I added a whole bunch more when I did the design.
Yes.
And I feel like that just helps so much contextually and letting people know what goes into each form.
It is really great to have that. It's like it's like documentation right immediately where you are when you're using something. I think the first place that you introduced that was in the settings panel on pens. So like when you look in a settings panel of a pen now, there's a lot of little microcopy that explains exactly what everything there does. And absolutely, that reduced questions about the things on the setting panel, because people can see right away, okay, this does this, this does this. If they need more information, there's links that take them directly to the documentation that's relevant to that. So it prevents them from having to search through the docs. It's just right there.
Yeah. Before, there were like a bunch of links that link to the doc, but like, you're working on a pen.
Yeah.
You don't want to open up a brand new window or a tab with documentation.
Exactly. It's great to be able to keep people right in the context of the thing that they're working on. And so bringing that same thing into the settings panel is also a really great way to help people help themselves, because people do not want to have to write into support. By the time they've written into support, they're like already stressed because they haven't found the thing that they want to do. So having this there and helping them find the thing that they need right off the bat and without having to search around or ask for help, it just makes everything easier for them. It's you can do what you're trying to do without needing to wait for a support desk to open in the United States. Cause that's the other thing, you know, we're in the US, our members are all over the world. So if someone is working in their afternoon on the other side of the globe from us, we're all still asleep because we're in the US. So they got to wait for us to open up. If it's right there, and all the information is available to them right away, they've got their answer right away and they can just keep working, and it just keeps them happier.
This episode of Code Pen Radio is brought to you by Imagix. Imagix is this global CDN for your images. It's like this purpose-built API built for developers for your images. When you're hosting images on the web, there's this whole checklist of stuff you got to do in order to be like doing it right, to be serving them as small as they can and as fast as they can in the correct formats and all that stuff. That can be a huge pain in the butt if you're trying to do it yourself. You're not going to do as a good job if you just send it through Imagix. For example, you can like set up S3 bucket, or for example, get your bucket going on Imagix and kind of connect the two, then all the images in that bucket go through Imagix and they have all these Imagix powers. You can serve them in the right format. You can serve them in the right size. You can optimize them. You can crop them. There's a million things you can do, but just the performance alone of doing it that way is worth doing. If you go to Imagix, that's imgix.com/codepen, first of all, you get $300 in account credit. Very generous. Thank you, Imagix. And I just couldn't recommend the service enough. They're used by tons of developers. You know, Unsplash, I think they might know a little bit about hosting images. Send their images through Imagix. Imagix, Kickstarter, Prismic, all this. It is this simple API. It works. It's just a, it's URL based essentially. It works with all languages, all front end frameworks. Don't worry about any of that. It's going to help. Helps you have lightning fast sites. Check out imagix.com/codepen.
So one thing that Dee mentioned to me yesterday when we were recording the previous show, and which I'd really like to talk to you about, Claire, is the React components that you designed for this. I had no idea you were in there designing React components. I thought it was all Figma. So I want to hear about that. That's news to me.
Yeah. So it ended up being easier for me to just go in and create all of the different React components that we're going to use, which like ends up being the sidebar and then like the different parts of like each section. So like the title, the helper text, the box that the inputs go into. There's a lot of stuff with like the inputs themselves. Yeah. It was just like every sort of design component that you could think of that went into the settings release, I just like went in and created a React component for and designed it in there to the best of my ability, which is mostly like adding the React component in its basic form and like a static form, and then just like letting everybody else do all the dynamic stuff.
Yeah. And it's actually ended up becoming quite a lot bigger than that, because one thing that Claire and I had been talking a lot about is kind of like the mind meld that has to occur between the design and development front end as well as back end, because Claire's design informs everything else, right? So like, for example, she made that very explicit UX decision to have everything save automatically. And so in order to allow that, we started this project with the API and designing the new data model for it. And it was just a big old object that we could update to consistently. But one piece that I really love, because it's just a passion of mine, is going from the Figma reusable design modules or components and then the reusable components on the front end. And while we might use React, it's possible to do that with any other front end framework, like a Vue, or I haven't used Angular much, but I imagine it's the same concept. And I remember talking to Claire about this, and Claire had actually already had a set of Figma components that she'd started, like the sidebar, which is the same purpose that we try to use on the development side, so that she can reuse her sidebars consistently throughout all the all of her other designs. And one thing that I noticed about Claire's designs here is that she reuses similar modules or pieces of aesthetic, right? You can become more and more granular as you go. But it ended up becoming amazing because we created a component library, which is a new thing for us. And we ended up using like your table from the assets design within billing. And more recently, because Steven went and converted it into a library component, I got to use it in one of our admin releases, UIs that's just for the team. So Claire, how do you kind of think about the like reusable design modules, so to speak? Because it really helps me do my job a lot better. And the translation is so nice.
Yeah. And like in Figma, I only have some of them that are reusable, but I end up reusing visual patterns over and over again, which like aren't really documented in Figma. They're just like, I've known that I've used this kind of pattern in the past, so I'll replicate that, mostly just from memory. But like for the table specifically, what was really nice about that was I think I created it and it looked mostly similar to the one that was in the assets redesign, but it was like, it might have been like slightly different. Like some of the colors might have been like a few colors off or something like that. But since we already had that pattern, Steven was like, oh, we have this pattern, I'm just going to reuse this, which like made my life easier because then I didn't have to like go into Figma and like completely redesign that to make sure all the colors were exact because it was already in code.
Yes.
And what I love about that is just we already have the code for this. We already have the pattern for this in React. Let's just use the thing that's in React.
Now that is like literally the secret sauce of developing at scale, right? And that was why I was so excited that you saw the same thing I saw, the reusability of components, whether they're design components or front-end React components. And we're going through this like new not redesign per se, but we're standardizing all of our controls between mm-hmm. assets, collections, there's the dashboard, which there's going to be something coming there too.
Yes, there is.
But I've seen how powerful that is for everyone involved. Like once that like bug just kind of like infects you, it ends up just propagating throughout the team because it makes everyone's life so much easier. There are fewer bugs because you can count on the component working the same way. And we love to mention, because it's just a team of seven, that because it's tiny, one of the big advantages is that we can always go to Claire and be like, Claire, this piece is really hard to work with. Can we remove this piece of design or update it this way because we want to make it reusable? Or there's this inconsistency. I think we did that a little bit with the controls, and you're always so good at doing that, which is awesome.
Yeah. I feel like the good thing about all the React components is like I've just decided that the source of truth is React. So like,
thank you.
we just go with what is in there, and which is easy for me because like I can update whatever CSS I want. Mm-hmm. If like it looks slightly wrong to me, then I'll just go into that React component and edit the CSS. But then that changes it for everybody.
That's okay, though. Most of the time, I like want you to go in there and change it because then I don't have to do as much CSS or other people don't. Like you and Steven are so great at that polish aspect. And I'm like, go in there, change the CSS, please. If it messes up something else, we'll fix it. It's fine. Just go do it.
It's so strange to me, too, because I'm usually involved in the development process really early on when development starts and like right when it goes out. And it's interesting because I'll like do a bunch of CSS early on to get everything out. And then like things happen in the development process. We like change and add things. And then I get a look at it right before it goes out and I just like get to polish everything up again.
Which is
amazing. It's just like interesting to just see how things change.
Oh, that is cool. I love that. Yeah, that's going to be nice to see the evolution along the process. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's weird how it's organically kind of become our formula. We're looking at this other big project now, and we do these weeklies, and Claire went and prototyped it in a separate branch. And I think she did this for me. Even if she didn't, I'm going to pretend she did. But she like took side-by-side photos of the output And then her set of React components that she started. And I think I gave you heart eyes and then star eyes because it just like soothes my soul. I'm like, oh goodness, this is going to be so beautiful. And we're going to maintain that thread from the design to the front end to the back end. I'm just such a stickler for the namespace. And it just brings me such great joy to see you bookending projects that way. So please keep doing it.
Oh, I will.
Thank you.
I like to make sure that it's all polished to go out.
That's one of the great things about good design. It does bring real joy. That's for sure. And you mentioned that we're bringing it to the admin tools now. I did notice we got some good looking admin tools. We've had some real scraggly admin tools that I've been battling with for years now. And it's nice to see everything start to develop the same appearance as what people who are using the site from the outside or get to enjoy. You know, the dumpster fires that I've been working in are starting to disappear, you know.
Yeah, it takes effort. We when we started working on that, the components in our component library weren't quite reusable enough. And we started this process of doing code shares and asking for like more help with certain pieces of the component library. But once you get that started and it grows legs, it's just like you just need that escape velocity, you know, and I think we're going to continue to see that consistent design because we get to use these like beautiful components that went through that process that Claire was just talking about. So
Yeah. I feel like that's the best part too, is seeing things happen in other parts of the site where you get to take those parts of the reusable component, like our admin, and it just gets designed without me really being involved because there's already components.
Yeah, right in the developer's hands. They can make something that looks nice too.
Yeah, it helps me focus on other UX issues.
Oh, for sure. You gave us the building blocks and then we can run from there with your like super consistent design system. So thanks, Claire.
Yes, thank you, Claire, for once again making the site much more useful and beautiful and user-friendly, which we all thank you for. And the users, whether they know it or not, the they will in a way be thanking you when they're not getting frustrated by these settings pages. Mm-hmm. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. And like I said, if you want to catch up on the development episode, which is the previous one, check that one out too. And we will be back next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.